Open your Bibles, if you will, to Luke, the book of Luke, five. And that's what we're going to be studying from today. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. I got four, I guess, because of that right there. Four locations, 40 days, 40,000 people. So 40 days with Jesus. That's the series that we're in. And the title in no way is meant to imply that all you need is 40 days with him. Rather, you would want every day. But the hope is that we're going to take several weeks to look at some true accounts that we find in the Gospels. The Gospels are the books in the beginning of the New Testament, and so we wanted to examine a little bit for several weeks some of the actual accounts of this person, Jesus Christ, and see what the Bible says about him, and then what we need to do in response. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 is where we're going to be. Let me ask you this. When you were in school growing up, maybe you're still there, there was ever a little skirmish between a couple of people. That happened a lot at J.O. Mann, where I went to school. If you're a patriot, you know what I'm talking about. It seemed like every time you turn around, somebody was getting in a fight. And not me. Yeah, of course, look at me. You know, I wouldn't go there anyway. I get dealt with painfully. But you know, what was the saying that they would say? You better recognize, right? You better recognize who you're talking to. Or, you know, you get the that was between two girls if it was a girl fight. You better recognize. And then if it was between two guys, one guy would always say, he doesn't know who he's about to who he's messing with, right? You better realize who you're talking. Isn't that how it always went? You always heard that trash talking. But what was the point? The hope was that they would somehow see something in you, or not, you know what I'm saying, if for the person, not you, but the person that was whatever saying it, they wanted the other person to realize something, and then they would back down, or it would just be, they'd get dealt with, right? Well, in a similar way, be careful with the analogy, because that's not God, but in a similar way, God wants us to realize who he is. And the reality is, when we really realize who he is, when we get a glimpse of who he is, there's no problem following him. There is no problem. Once you have an encounter with this Jesus Christ, from what the word says about him, you come to a realization about him. And much like the disciples that we'll see in this account, once they got a full realization of who he is, they had no problem actually doing what it says as leaving everything to follow him. The deal is, Jesus does want every one of us to follow him, just like it was so well exemplified by Jennifer just a moment ago in the baptism waters. She was publicly stating that Christ is her Savior, her Lord, her everything. Much like one pastor and writer says, John Piper, he is now her treasure. And just like when we identify treasures in our lives, we run after those things. And now he has become, a while back, her treasure. And that is why she was being baptized today. Same thing for us. When we realize who he is, all we want to do is follow him as he calls. That's the truth. So the big idea is this, guys. Kind of stated in like a futuristic type of terminology. Big idea is this. You will follow Jesus. You will. There's no doubt about it. You will follow Jesus when you realize who Jesus is. And specifically in this passage, he wants us to follow him in bringing people into the kingdom of God. That is the call. And it seems like it's a repeat from what we've been talking about the past several weeks. We began on Missions Day talking about the reason that we've got to go out into the world to what is called the nations and reach people to, Lord willing, bring them into the kingdom of God. Because without him, there is no hope in this life and in this world. If we do not know him, then this world is just a letdown. And it's all just going to show that to be true if we go into eternity without him. And that is what he wants us to do. And that's a little bit of what we saw last week. And that's what we'll see today. We're all going to struggle with this, aren't we? Yeah. Why? because the task is just too great. You're talking about, as we'll see and here as we read through, bringing people into the kingdom of God, me, right? Some of us, even as I mentioned that and as I will talk about it, many of us are going to say, well, how could God use me for that? I've got A, B, C, and D against me. I can't do that. Or that is a task too great. How would that be accomplished? Or maybe for some of us, we'll say, well, yeah, and it doesn't excite us, as it should if we are followers of Christ, right? So let's see what he says about it. Let me pray for us before we go any further, and then we'll look at this passage. Father, we're here today to celebrate what you're doing, and we believe that you are the one true God. You have shown it to us in the Bible. You have made it clear to us through what we observe in the creation. Our own consciences tell us that you are who you say you are. But in our hearts, so often, we struggle to surrender and just give it up and truly follow you. And I pray that today, for those of us who are the saved, then, oh God, would we continue to trust you and follow you even more closely by your grace and your spirit. And for those of us who would say, you know, I am investigating this thing about Christianity. I am not sure I'm there yet. Lord, would today be the day that we realize who you are and follow you as you say. In Jesus' name, amen. So look at the story, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke 5, 1 through 11. You got the account there where Jesus, he was ministering in this place of Galilee. If you remember last week, I think it was, we talked about how he had been baptized and the Holy Spirit was actually, he came down and he anointed him for ministry. And then he went all throughout that region and he was actually healing people and teaching in the synagogues, which back in their day was much like the churches in our day. It was the center of religious life, if you will. And that is where Jesus went initially, and he did some confrontation about who he is and the religion of their day, where it had gone. And then he goes on over into this place that is called Galilee, to the edge of this lake of, or the Sea of Galilee. Here it's called the Lake of Gennesaret. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he, and that's talking about Jesus, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, something was going on right there at that point. You got to get a picture of this. Jesus did not show partiality to anyone in any way. There was a crowd there that was pressing in on him, as it says, to receive God's word, to receive some teaching. And Jesus did that. And at the same time, he also zeroes in on this one man at this time called Simon, who would later be called Peter. And there were some other people that got involved in this too. But it's interesting that if you go back in and you realize what Jesus is doing here, when if you fast forward and see where he's going and what he's about to do with these guys, you would think, well, why did he choose Simon? Because he was a fisherman. And fishermen back in that day were probably not the first pick for someone to do this thing that is called leading the church. But it's interesting that that's exactly who Jesus chose. A rough, old, scaly hand, suntan burnt, you know, whatever, rough and strong, just, you know, the history says he was just hairy. This guy just kind of a rough dude. And that's who, not saying there's anything wrong with rough dudes. I'd like to think I'm a rough dude, but just saying. Evidently, my point is, this wasn't the guy you'd want to lead according to the religion at that day, their view of what it would take. Not necessarily trained at the best seminary of their day, but isn't it interesting that he showed no partiality And that is the way the Lord is with everybody. The way the world wants to operate is, who are you? What have you accomplished in your life? What family do you come from? How much money do you have? Where do you live? What are you into? And that is the way we measure a person, do we not? Now, sure, many in this church don't do that, but by the world, isn't that what happens? Sure. That's why we're all fighting in this thing. You know, we don't want to be identified with certain things in the world, but at the same time, that's where we find ourselves. Why? Because of that old human flesh and the way the world operates. But Jesus didn't operate that way. And he found this guy, Peter, and these fishermen who were probably not what the religious of his day would have chosen. But that's what he did. And look what happens. He comes to them. He told him to put out a little from the land. He teaches the crowd, spends some time there, and then he zeroes in on Simon. In verse 4, he said this, "And when he had finished speaking, he said, 'Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking." Verse 7, "They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat, both of the boats, so that they began to sink." What just happened? I'll tell you what, I have never had a day like that on the lake. And we've done a lot of fishing. We've caught a lot of fish in my day. I wish I could fish more, but I'll tell you what, I never had one like that. That old 10-pound striped bass was candy corn compared to what happened here. Why is that a big deal? Well, it's interesting. What Jesus did, they had been fishing all night, just like Peter said. Jesus, are you serious? You see, in other words, Jesus, don't you know that we're the fishermen here? You're the teacher. You're the rabbi. This isn't your deal. This isn't your show. Let us stick with doing what we do, okay? But, okay, I guess if that's what you say, Master, I respect you. I'll do that. You see, fishing, for them at least, what the kind of fishing they were doing was night fishing. So for Jesus to say, go in the daytime and fish was a little silly to them. And also, they had just finished a whole night of fishing, and they didn't catch anything. So now the teacher, who's not a fisherman, is telling the fishermen to go out in daytime, which is not the time to catch the fish thereafter, and go out really deep and put the nets down. And what else was interesting is that they only had one boat, and the type of fishing that they were used to typically was best with two boats, so you could let the net down really deep. So Jesus, in essence, was saying, go do something that just defies all reason and everything you know. Go out there and do this. And what happened? They didn't catch a little few sardines. What'd they catch? Boatloads. And it sank the boats. It started breaking the nets. In other words, it was the catch of a lifetime. What's the point? Look at what happened. Go down in verse 8. "But when Simon Peter saw it," what? "He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken." What's the point? Peter realized something about this Jesus Christ that he obviously needed to know and did not know up to that point. What did he realize? That Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is sovereign. That means that he has supreme control. He has supreme power. He has supreme authority. And the fact of the matter is, much like as we will see in just a moment with Peter, when you realize who Jesus is, you will follow him where he says. You will follow Jesus when you realize that he is the sovereign Lord. Absolutely. Isn't that where we struggle every day? Who is in control? Who is in control of my life? Who is in control of this universe? Who is in control of this situation? Who is sovereign? And don't we want to say, I believe God's in control, but what do we show with our lives, right? How many marriages are being destroyed because one or both parties in that marriage wants to have supreme control, right? Oh, yeah. It's an issue of control. It's an issue of sovereignty. It's an issue of who is in charge. And what Peter came to understand at this time is that this Jesus Christ, he's in charge, and I am not. And oh my goodness, what in the world do I do? Guys, I'll ask you this. Where are you struggling to surrender control? How are you thinking that you are sovereign over your situation, your circumstances, even your eternal destiny? Who's in control? I think Jesus is. I think when he realized that all these fish were coming in, everything was, they was getting piled in the boat, they needed help, the nets were breaking, and the boats were sinking, all he could do was say, hang on, this isn't the way I planned on it going. This isn't what I was, this isn't the way I knew, this isn't it. And what'd he do? I'm out. Tap out, as Kurt says. It's over. I'm done. And he hit his knees. And then what? Look at what it says. Go back to verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a, what is that? Sinful man. What in the world was going on? He realized that Jesus was holy. Not only was he sovereign and control, which should really comfort you guys to think that there's a God who's in control of all this, but secondly, that he is holy. That's the bottom, guys, that's the fact of the matter. You will follow Jesus when you realize that Jesus is the holy Lord. You see, when you come into the presence of God, right? Even as it should be here in this place, when we come into God's presence in the sense that we are corporately worshiping him and we get a sense of this awesome creator who is sovereign, we realize our own sinfulness, which means that we realize his holiness. You cannot realize your sinfulness without the holiness, without seeing the holiness of God. What is holiness? Well, it means that he is set apart. He is pure. The filth because of our sin. And you realize, guys, don't we divide different sins and create levels, right? It's like, oh, well, you know, I hadn't done that. Man, that just makes me sick what that person's doing, right? We've been there. As if that's on a different level. But guess what? Sin is sin. And he is holy. And so even, and here's the most deceptive thing about our day, about human nature, is that we will say, even me trying to do good things for God is not sinful. But did you know that even the best on your best days for God, if you are operating separate from a renewed, restored relationship with Christ, that's the, I hate to go back on my argument, but that's like the worst sin of all. It's called religion, and it is so sickening. It is called legalism because you think that you can fulfill the law of God. When all you can do when you look at the law of God is realize that you don't meet the standard. And he did. And I have to think that for Peter, when he saw all of this go down in the boat, he said, oh my goodness, I am in the presence of, what does he say there? Lord. That is a lot different than master, is it not? Whew. He said, man, please get out. Jesus, leave. I don't want to be in your presence anymore because I am a sinful man. Isn't that what happened? Do you remember the story of Moses? And he was out there in the desert, and what happened? He noticed a flame over in the distance. There was a bush that was burning, and he said, let me go see what this is. And when he got there, God said what? Whoa, take off your shoes, for where you are standing is holy ground. And what happened? Moses said this in Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. What's the point? He was in the presence of God, and he realized how holy and wonderful and amazing this God is. And he realized that he was not fit to be in his presence. That is the same for every single human being, just naturally speaking, because of who we are. Think about the prophet Isaiah. If you go back in there and you read what happened, he had a vision of God. He understood he was in the presence. And what could Isaiah say? All he could say is, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He didn't just hang out and he was like, what up, dog? No. He was like, I can't even muster up what he was like. He was in the presence of the holy God. What do we do oftentimes? We disregard the fact that this God is holy, totally different, unsinful, totally clean, totally pure, totally perfect, and has every right in his sovereignty to take Peter, for example, and just blow him to smithereens. Would he be just? Absolutely. But guess what? There's one last thing. He's merciful. Look at what he said. Pick back up in the passage. Peter said, oh, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, here it is, amazing. He said what? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I understand. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. What's the point? Peter realized that he was merciful. Number three, you will follow Jesus. If you're not following Jesus now, or if you're struggling with really surrendering, if you really get the fact that he is sovereign over you and you ain't got nothing, and you realize that he is holy and you are not, but then you realize that, man, he is merciful. What is mercy? Oh, it is that something that we struggle to even have, but it is that happens deep inside of you and totally not even up there on the level of Christ, but it moves you to help someone in their hurt and in their pain and in their time of need. That is who Jesus Christ is. And right when he had every right to just say, what'd he do? Here you go. Let me give you my hand. Don't be afraid. There was mercy. Don't be afraid. And then what? And then what? He gave him a whole new deal. He gave him a whole new job. He was before a stinky, scaly, sweaty fisherman who probably in that culture would have respected fishermen as far as that's what they do, but didn't have the most. What about that? What'd he say? Here you go. Just like you used to catch fish, and by the way, today was a really good catch, not going to happen anymore. You might do that to eat, but you're going to follow me and you're going to be doing what? You're going to be catching people. You're going to be letting down your nets and you're going to be bringing a lot of people in. And by the way, it's a guaranteed deal. It is a guarantee. You're going to be catching men. What happened? Peter said, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. Whatever. Oh, I hit my knees. You know what I'm talking about. He lost it. Everybody else was like, come on, get the fish. Get the fish in the boat. Come on, get the fish. Peter's like, boom. That's all he could do was worship. What in the world happened? The guy was changed. And how many of us in our culture today We go around every day totally unchanged, but claiming to be or have been in his presence. What's the fact? We don't realize who he is. But when you realize who he is, you will follow him wherever in the world he calls. Absolutely. And look at the last thing. Look at verse 11. Here's what happens. Verse 11, because this just seals the deal. And when, so there's more to it. If that wasn't enough, and when they had brought their boats to the land, and all, imagine this, everything that they had comfort and security in, their livelihood, their boats, their nets, this is my deal. When they brought, after this little event, when they brought it to the land, what did they do? They left it all and followed him. Pew. You guys get that? That meant that they were going to endure the ridicule of their family who might have been involved in their fishing business. The town who would have known, well, this is what you, what are you doing? You, Jesus, who is this? Why would people say that? Because they don't realize who he is. But what? Peter and James and John, they realized who he is. And so I would challenge us, if you're here today, and you've just sort of just blown in here, you know, like a whatever, whatever way you came in here today, but maybe far from God. You came in here because someone twisted your arm, but this is not the place you would want to be. Or maybe it is, and you're just searching. Guess what? It doesn't matter what you have done or have not done, because the Lord is not partial. What he wants is for you to realize that. Realize that you are not in control. You are unholy. And you are in deep need of the mercy of God. And guess what? He will gladly give it. Because that's what he loves to do. And then start a whole new deal. No, you don't necessarily have to leave your job. Maybe you do. But guess what? Start catching people. Start bringing people into the kingdom of God. Start bringing people into the presence of this Creator. Start distributing the mercy that you have received because of who he is. I want to ask you, just bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments. Guys, look, here's the deal. We come here every single Sunday. And we do the same thing. We sing, we pray, and we get into the Word. And my fear is this, for far too many, we're doing this not realizing who he is. And what that might mean is that you don't know him. You might think you do. You might know a little about him, but you don't know him like these people knew him. And I want to ask you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Would you do that today? If you have never done that, if you have never really recognized who God is and surrendered, ask him to forgive you of your sin and be your Savior, would you do that today? And would you raise your hand and let me know if that is you? Would you voice that out? Would you raise your hand and show it? Would you just say, yes, I want forgiveness? Would you raise your hand and let me see that? Because I want to come and talk to you afterwards to help work through some of this with you. And I'd like to pray, walk you through a prayer to voice that out to the Lord. Okay. To those who are believers, and I want to challenge you with this. Are you following him? Are you spending your life catching men? Because if you realize who he is, you're going to follow him as he's called you. I want to challenge you to that. Let me pray for us, all right? First of all, I want to ask those of you, maybe you have, you've never trusted Christ and you want to do that. Then I want to walk you through just a simple prayer. There is nothing magical about this. But I want to help you to voice that to God. But here's the deal. Don't just do this just to get your pass. Guys, this is about surrendering all, just as those disciples did. They left it all to follow him. And if you want to forsake all yourself, sin and whatever, and have total forgiveness and grace, then tell that to the Lord. And I'll help you through that. You can pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I do confess that I'm a sinner. And I do believe that you lived in my place. You lived a perfect life. And you died on a cross for my sins. And I want to surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me of my sin. And help me now to follow you fully. Thank you for your forgiveness. My life is yours. Teach me now, because I want to know you better. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Father, I believe that that you've done something here today among us, and we thank you. We thank you that you are sovereign over every single situation. Lord, I am so thankful that in your holiness, you have come and given mercy to me. Help us now to follow you and surrender it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.